concessions are the Russians going to have to make?
Well, they're making concessions. Their big concession is they stop fighting and they don't take any more land.
This is my video update on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 26th. Coming to you from Sofia, Bulgaria. Let's talk about some news. And before we get into the news for today, remember to like this video, to share this channel, and if you want to subscribe, that would be really cool. The choice is yours. 3rd century AD. Wow. That is old. What a beautiful building. All right. Let's start things off today with the confirmation that Witkoff will be traveling to Moscow sometime next week to talk about Trump's 28-point peace plan, or what is now being reported is a 19-point peace plan after the Yermak revisions, which, according to other media reports, Russia has rejected the 19-point peace plan, which has been revised by Ukraine. So Witkoff is going to be in Moscow to discuss what was once a 28-point peace plan and then discuss a 19-point peace plan that has been rejected by Russia. And this has all been confirmed. He's going to Moscow. He's going to Moscow to talk about Trump's peace plan, however many points it may contain. 28 points, 19 points, 20 points, 1 point. Trump was on Air Force One, and he was asked by the media about his peace efforts. And Trump finally said something that we've been saying for a while now on this channel and on the Duran. He was asked by a reporter, what concessions are the Russians making? And Trump said, well, they're making one big concession. They're going to stop fighting and they're going to stop taking more land. Exactly. Kaya Kallas always complains about Russia not making any concessions. Russia's never making any concessions, says stunning and brave Kaya Kallas. And I've said on many videos, well, Russia's making perhaps the biggest concession in all of conflicts, in all wars that have ever taken place since the history of time. Russia is making the concession that they will stop advancing. They will stop taking land. That is what Trump said. And Trump is right about that. You want a big concession? That's a huge concession, because even Trump now is acknowledging that that Russia is advancing, and they're advancing very quickly, and they're taking more and more land. And all of the complaints about giving up the Donbass to Russia, how dare you, Trump White House? Just concede that Russia is going to take the Donbass, that they're going to capture the Donbass. And Trump is now saying, well, they're going to take it anyway. They're going to take it in a week or 2 or 3 weeks. Whichever way you look at it, Russia is going to take the Donbass. Actually, Trump is doing Ukraine a favor, man, when you think about it. Because if the 28-point peace plan is to be believed, then that plan actually says that Donbass is going to, at least 25% of Donbass is going to be a DMZ. So he's not even talking about giving all of the Donbass or ceding all of the Donbass to Russia. I mean, if you look at it from that, perspective, but there's still the outrage that Trump is giving away Donbass, and Trump is freezing Zaporozhye and Kherson if you go by the 28-point peace plan. I don't think we've seen this 19-point peace plan that has been revised by Yermak, Zelensky's entertainment lawyer, Andrei Yermak, who is saying, forget about 28-point peace plans. Let's talk about a 19-point peace plan. That's what Yermak said. Forget about the 28-point peace plan. It's all about the 19-point peace plan now. All right, so let's check it out. Let's do some sightseeing here in beautiful Sofia. So that's the update there. And we have the Bloomberg leak. The Bloomberg leaks, actually. We have a couple of leaks, courtesy of Bloomberg. And of course, these leaks are meant to sabotage any move towards a resolution between the United States and Russia with regards to the conflict in Ukraine. That's what these leaks are all about. A leak between a phone call between Ushakov and Witkoff. That's the first leak. And the second leak that Bloomberg published was a conversation between Ushakov and Dmitriev. I'm not going to get into the details of the conversation, what they said. It's a pretty long conversation, actually, the transcript. But they don't really say much, to be honest. Ushakov is speaking with Witkoff, and Witkoff is basically telling Ushakov how they should approach the peace efforts with regards to each other's bosses. They actually use the word boss. Witkoff is telling Ushakov, when we come up with whatever plans we come up with, or as we negotiate, this is how we should approach my boss in reference to Trump. And Ushakov is saying, okay, this is how we should approach my boss with reference to Putin. That's pretty much what they're discussing. And Dmitriev and Ushakov are basically strategizing as to how to put together some points for discussion with the United States, and how to present these points to the United States and to get the negotiations moving forward. It's pretty much a brainstorming, strategizing session or conversation between Ushakov and Dmitriev. How should we move forward with presenting our points to Witkoff, to the Americans? That's the phone call between Ushakov and Dmitriev. It's worth a read on Bloomberg. Definitely check out the conversations. I don't think there's anything earth-shattering or scandalous in what both conversations are about, to be quite honest. The main point of the Bloomberg transcript that everyone is kind of pushing forward, everyone that wants to sabotage the peace process, the negotiations, is that this is proof that Russia wrote the peace plan. That's what they're going with. They're saying this is definitive proof that Russia was really behind the 28-point peace plan, not the 19-point peace plan from Yermak. We're talking about the 28-point peace plan. So they're saying, you see, Russia wrote the peace plan, and they gave it to Witkoff, and Trump signed off on it. So you know where they're going with all of this. Trump is a Putin puppet. You see, Trump is being manipulated by the Russians. The Russians came up with the 28-point peace plan. This is proof. Ushakov talking to Dmitriev, and then Ushakov talking to Witkoff. How are they going to approach their bosses
with the plan that the Russians put together. That's what they're running with now. Which is kind of ridiculous, because the 28-point peace plan, the one that we have read, that all of us have read, is not a good plan for Russia at all. At least that's my point of view. That's how I see the 28-point peace plan. I think it's a really, really bad plan for Russia. So I have a lot of doubts about this narrative that Russia actually came up with the 28-point peace plan, because it's a terrible plan for Russia. Why would Ushakov and Dmitriev put that piece of cocktail napkin talking points together? I'm trying to be polite. I was going to say a bad word. Anyway, that's the Bloomberg. That's the Bloomberg transcript that has everyone talking. Everyone is outraged. There is one interesting point to what Bloomberg has published, when you take a step back and think about it. You have a leak, right? You have two leaks, a phone call between Ushakov and Witkoff and a phone call between Dmitriev and Witkoff. Who's the common thread? What's the common thread, the common person in all of this? Ushakov. So it looks like Ushakov's phone was wired, was tapped, right? He's been compromised by intel agencies. They're the ones that got to Ushakov's communications. He's the common thread. So I think that's interesting. But you know, this is the chaotic nature of these negotiations. It really highlights the chaotic nature of what is going on. This is not standard diplomacy at all. This is very unorthodox, everything that is taking place. Why Russia has decided to go along with this chaos is actually kind of baffling, to be quite honest. I'm very surprised that Putin and his administration did not say, look, these are very complicated, very long, very difficult diplomatic talks that need to take place, President Trump. So we need to get our foreign ministry on this. Amazing. So I think that's the part that's kind of shocking, if you want my opinion. Why this wasn't handled by the Russian Foreign Ministry, by Lavrov, beats me. Russia decided to go along with this chaotic format, this Witkoff and Ushakov and Dmitriev, who are not diplomats. That's the point that I'm trying to make. Maybe, okay, Ushakov, you could argue, is a diplomat. Dmitriev is not a diplomat. Witkoff is not a diplomat. They have no connection to the foreign ministries or the State Department, for that matter. So this whole thing has been very, very unorthodox in its approach. And it's showing. Anyway, let's continue. That's all I have to say about that. And Driscoll, according to NBC News, the U.S. Army Secretary Driscoll, he told Ukraine that, okay, let's go around the church and let's go in through there and see what's down that way. He told Ukraine that they're going to lose, and they're going to lose big. And they should accept the deal that's being presented to them. This is according to NBC News. U.S. Army Secretary warned Ukraine of imminent defeat while pushing initial peace plan. This is the deal that... These are the talks that took place in Abu Dhabi. Okay, let's go through there. So the interesting part about this NBC News report is not that Driscoll told Ukraine that their defeat is imminent and they should take the deal. The interesting part, according to NBC News, is that Driscoll also told Ukraine that the Russians had the ability to fight on indefinitely and that America's defense industry could not keep supplying Ukraine with the weapons and air defenses at the rate needed to protect the country's infrastructure and population. Quite an admission from Driscoll, huh? We can't keep up with the Russians. They outproduce us. They can fight indefinitely, and we can't continue to supply you with the weapons that you need. We simply cannot keep up. Can't keep pace with the Russian military machine. Russia's war machine, as Ursula and Kaya Kallas go on about Russia's war machine. Well, it's producing a lot of weapons that not even the United States can keep up with. That's an interesting revelation from Driscoll. What did I say? Driscoll. So panic in Europe, everybody. That is what is going on. Some of this is theater, because you gotta imagine that there are some European leaders that understand that the 28-point peace plan is very bad for Russia. There's gotta be some European leaders that understand that the 28-point peace plan is a bad deal. If you're Russia, I'm sure there are other European leaders that actually believe that this 28-point peace plan is good for Russia. I'm sure there are some European leaders that are sticking with Russia has to capitulate and Russia has to surrender and nothing else will be acceptable, no doubt about it. But there's panic in Europe. I think there's a lot of theater, a lot of theatrics. I think there is a lot of genuine panic as well. But the reports coming out of Europe are pretty wild, man. Pretty wild. Macron and Starmer, they are... I'm going to have to turn down the audio one sec. Okay, you know which song is playing? Without You. I don't know who sings that song, Without You. Let me know in the comments down below, who's the artist that sings that song, Without You? I forgot the name. Anyway, that's the song that's playing over there. As we look at the ancient ruins, we got some pop music playing. So Macron and Starmer, They're preparing boots on the ground in Ukraine. They're saying that if there is a deal and there are security guarantees, well, they're saying there has to be security guarantees provided to Ukraine, then they're drawing up the plans for UK, British, and I believe they said Turkish troops as well. I want to say German. They talked about four countries, British, UK. I believe they said British, UK, German or Italian and Turkish troops to go to Ukraine and provide the security guarantees, boots on the ground. And they're drawing up those plans at this very moment. As potential Ukraine deal looms, France and Britain map out boots on the ground. In the coming days, we will be able to finalize very precisely the contributions of each country and be able to present finalized security guarantees, Macron promised. A multinational force will play a vital part in guaranteeing the country's security, British PM Keir Starmer told those on the call, who notably included U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio was on that call. So the NBC News article, check this out. The NBC News article, which was talking about U.S. Army Secretary Driscoll and telling Ukraine that they're going to face an imminent defeat, that article also highlighted what they claim, this is what NBC News claims, is a rift between Vance and Rubio. And basically, NBC News is saying that Vance wants, or he believes that the way to resolve the conflict once and for all, to get to a long-lasting solution to the conflict in Ukraine, to Project Ukraine, is to just go with what was agreed in Alaska, right? And Rubio, he believes that the best way to resolve the conflict in Ukraine is to continue to put pressure on Russia, to not make any concessions to Russia, to side with the Europeans, according to the reports, to work more with the Europeans and to continue to pressure Russia with escalation and sanctions. And this is the divergence, according to NBC News, between Vance and Rubio. And it's interesting that Rubio was on this call with the Europeans. So boots on the ground, according to Macron. And then Macron also put out statements about the Russian frozen assets. That's what they're really freaking out about. I was the first to say it. the Russian frozen assets, the part in Trump's plan saying that the frozen assets are going pretty much to the United States. They're going to make profits on the Russian frozen assets. The Europeans did not like that. They did not like that at all. I don't like it. I don't like it. Trump is saying, I like it. We're going to make profits off of the Russian frozen assets. I like it. And we're also going to make profits off of Russian resources, energy, the Arctic. I like it a lot. Macron is saying, no, 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 no. I don't like it. I don't like it. So Macron is saying that the only people that get to decide on how the frozen assets are used are the Europeans. That's right. The Europeans alone must decide on Russian frozen assets. Only the Europeans decide. The Europeans are going to decide what to do with Russia's money. That's basically what Macron is saying. And only the Europeans can decide what to do with Russia's money. Macron, staying with the frozen assets. The foreign minister of Lithuania, Mr. Budris, he is saying, you know what? If we want to get a ticket at the negotiating table, what we have to do is we have to take those Russian frozen assets right away. We need to get those Russian frozen assets ASAP. And if we take those Russian frozen assets, then the United States and Russia, they have no other choice but to invite us at the negotiating table. It's a plan. It's a plan from Mr. Budris, the Lithuanian foreign minister. Speaking to Bloomberg on Monday, Budris stated that now is the time to make a decision, warning that otherwise it will be a lost opportunity for Europe to play the relevant role. The first priority for Europe is to get the ticket to the table. We have to get some leverage. The two things that provide us access to negotiations are frozen assets, that's one, and number two is the EU for Ukraine. That would provide something credible. I don't even know what the number two even means. Number two is the EU for Ukraine. Okay, whatever. You want to get a ticket to the negotiating table? The Lithuanian foreign minister is saying, take those assets. Just take those assets. We got the money. We got the money now. We got the cash. You have to invite us to the negotiating table. These are professional diplomats. This is the foreign minister of Lithuania, everybody. This is the top diplomat in all of Lithuania. This is what he's come up with. An admission that Europe has been cut out. Vassals. Vassals. Why should the vassals be at the negotiating table? So Rheinmetall stock is tanking over the past 5 days. I believe Rheinmetall, the German MIC company, has fallen by 16% of their stock over the past 5 days. Yeah, the MIC is not happy about what is taking place. Rheinmetall is not happy about what is taking place. 800% growth, Rheinmetall, more than NVIDIA over the past 3-4 years. Well, there's some sort of protest going on. Should we go check it out? Let's go check it out. Not sure what's happening. Politico has an article with the title, Zelensky's Grim Choice, Take Trump's Peace Deal or Rely on Flaky European Friends. Despite celebrating good progress in talks in Geneva, Eastern Europeans are also too weak or too timid to save Ukraine, even with a loan from frozen Russian assets. Even with the Russian frozen assets, not enough. Not enough. The Europeans are just too timid. All right, doesn't look like it's too big of a gathering, to be quite honest, but I'm not sure what's going on. Let's walk down this way, away from the noise. It'll be hard to talk. So Rubio is refusing to meet with Stunning and Brave. He is not meeting with Kaya Kallas. Doesn't see any need to meet with Kaya Kallas. Europe's top diplomats can't get a meeting with the Secretary of State of the United States. This is also coming from Politico. The EU's top diplomat, Kaya Kallas, has been kept out of the spotlight, given her sometimes difficult relationship with the Trump administration, according to two other officials, even U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, the most pro-European of Trump's top team, who changed the tack of Trump's Ukraine negotiations, has been declining to hold bilaterals with Kallas. But one of the officials pointed out she is busy playing the bad cop by corralling member states behind the scenes. Yeah, she's just trying to sabotage things from behind the scenes. She's just talking smack about everything that is taking place, trying to derail whatever talks are taking place between the United States and Russia. But Rubio doesn't even want to meet with her, even though Rubio is super pro-EU, super pro-Europe. But he sees things from a neocon perspective, right? We're the United States. You're the vassals. I'm pro-vassal. Basically, Rubio is pro-EU vassal. That's what Rubio is. That's what the neocons are. While the Europeans, they actually believe that they're allies, they're friends with the United States. They're peers. They're on the same level. That's what the Europeans believe. Rubio is saying, look, I'm
I'm pro-EU, absolutely. I'm pro-Europe, but from the standpoint of we're the master and you're the vassal. Europeans are actually deluded enough to believe that, hey, we're the same. We're friends. We're equals. No, that's not what's going on. Oh, man. And Borrell is proof of the delusion of the Europeans, the EU officials. Jungle Joseph is back. The ex-EU foreign minister. He posted on X, Trump's plan to end the war in Ukraine exposes the failure of the EU's appeasement strategy, giving in to his demands on military spending, tariffs, digital deregulation, multinational taxation, and energy supplies has achieved nothing. With the 28-point plan to end the war in Ukraine, Trump's United States can no longer be considered an ally of Europe, which is not even consulted on matters affecting its own security. Europe must acknowledge this shift in U.S. policy and respond accordingly. How is Europe going to respond accordingly, Jungle Joseph? Please tell us how Europe, demilitarized, deindustrialized, respected by no one, how is the EU going to respond accordingly to who? The United States? What is that response going to be, Jungle Joseph Borrell? Trump's United States can no longer be considered an ally of Europe. Are you listening, Trump? You're no longer our friend. Trump, you're no longer our friend, says Jungle Joseph. He's upset. He is upset with the United States. The gardener is upset. You're no longer our friends. We did everything for you. We wrecked our economies. We destroyed our countries. We decided to piss off Russia and BRICS, China, India. We did everything for you guys. We allowed Gilligan to bomb Nord Stream. And now we're not even invited to the table. How can you do this to us? How can you do this to us, Trump? You're no longer our ally. We're friends no more. Where's Biden? Where's Bidenopolis? So James Comey and Letitia James, we're shifting gears. We're moving away from the gardener and going to Comey and Russiagate because you know that that after the midterms, they're going to throw all kinds of Russiagate 2.0 or 10.0 at Trump because of these talks with Russia. That's what's going to happen. But anyway, Comey off the hook, James off the hook, according to a federal judge. The attorney that Trump appointed, Lindsey Halligan, was unlawful, and so the cases against Comey and James have been dismissed. Big surprise. I'm shocked. I'm completely shocked. Stunned and shocked. So let's do Clown World, and we can wrap up this video. And today's Clown World is courtesy of Dancing Queen, Santa Marin. And Jungle Joseph is back. Santa Marin is back. They're all coming back. They're all making a comeback. And Santa Marin, according to the New York Post, she is very upset that no one is taking her seriously. She is being remembered not as an incredible leader of Finland, the youngest leader of Finland. That's not what she's being remembered as. She is being remembered for her dance, her clubbing and gyrating hips, according to the New York Post. That is what she is being remembered for. And she's very, very upset.
So let me read you what the New York Post is saying. And we will wrap up this video. Tramvai 83. Siemens. Tramvai 83. All right. The New York Post. Oh, that photo. That photo of Santa Marin. That photo. Yeah, that is gonna haunt her forever. That's on the internet, and that is never going away, that photo of Dancing Queen. According to the New York Post, glam former Prime Minister Santa Marin complains that she's known for racy dance video, club grinding. There's a layer of misogyny. That's the quote from the New York Post. It has nothing to do with misogyny, man. It has nothing to do with misogyny at all. Not at all. You were partying. You were partying and clubbing, and that didn't look good, right? That's what this is about. And those photos are now on the internet. That video is now on the internet. It was pretty cringe. It was pretty cringe. Her and her buddies partying it up in someone's apartment. That was pretty cringe. Woodrow Wilson, Thomas Woodrow Wilson. Finland's former prime minister complained that she seems to be more known for infamous videos of her dancing than for her leadership. Santa Marin became Finland's youngest prime minister at just 34 years old and quickly became a symbol of new liberal movement in Europe. But 2 years into her term, videos of her gyrating in a lacy black tank top circled the internet, and a separate video later emerged of her grinding in a club with a man that wasn't her husband. She's complaining now that she's being remembered for this instead of her leadership as Prime Minister of Finland. Anyway, that is the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X and Rumble and Telegram. And go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. All those links are in the description box down below. Take care.